Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the extraterrestrial. That was too easy.
That's way too easy.
Way too easy.
I mean, you know, and
this is Long, the Roswell
conspiracy theorist. I don't know.
Yeah. But you guys remember? Remember 2 years ago about the whole rush, the Roswell rush, Area 51?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That was funny.
I'll be from a Facebook group. And then there's actually about, a few hundred people actually showed up out there near Area 51.
Yeah. And what were they going to do? Shoot at them? Yeah. You know?
Hey, they said they were. They had rushed it. I think there was at least one or two arrests made for a couple of guys that did try to run towards the fence.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I mean, that's the power of the internet, man. It started as a joke Facebook group, and it grew into this massive viral thing that people were following and some taking serious.
Google even took Area 51 off the map of Google.
Did you join the group, Matt?
I did join the group. I wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. And the guy who made the joke originally pleaded people to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and then I think there was even someone that tried to take legal action on him, but then basically the lawyer said, no, it was a joke. It was harmless. At the end, nothing happened. The people that did do anything wrong got arrested. I mean, you know, it's like poor guy was just trying to have fun. He almost got legal action against him.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man. And, but at the same time, like, I really kind of wonder what would have happened if thousands of people had rushed it, if we found out any dark alien secrets, you know?
Yeah, like there was a phased plasma rifle or something in there, you know?
Right. Well, I believe the U.S. government is going to official its findings on the UFO phenomenon. I believe in June, if not June, then fall.
Yeah, but they ain't going to tell us nothing. Yeah.
I know, but
it's
been picking up a lot of steam lately. So
I mean, there's got to be something in Area 51. Now, I don't know if it's aliens or if it's just top secret technology, but there's definitely something there that's hidden, that's top secret. I mean, they're guarding it with shooting people, and there's been satellite radar technology that doesn't pick anything up except for solid metal buildings underground. I mean, there's definitely something there. It's in, you know, I don't believe in a whole lot of conspiracy stuff because I'm not really a conspiracy guy, but there are a few things, like, I think there's something in Area 51, you know, and I mean, it's hard not to believe in aliens. I mean, because we know there's a vast universe out there. There's no way we're the only fucking people or beings anywhere. There's got to be something out there, you know?
I think it would be arrogant of us to say that we were the only intelligent life in the entire universe.
Exactly, you know?
It just sounds like an arrogant statement, you know? So there's got to be something else.
Yeah, I mean, and I personally think it would be fucking badass if we found out in our lifetime, you know? I mean, and I hope that they're peaceful. I don't want to get shot at, you know? but I think it'd be pretty cool, you know? Just look up in the sky and see a giant ship and be like, oh shit, that's awful. You know?
Yeah, hopefully it's not a Mars Attacks thing.
No disintegrations.
And on that note, let's get to the show.
Well, I mean, it's related to this movie we're doing today, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and but other than that, man, I'm just been a long week, you know. It's like, I'm feeling that need for a vacation soon, which is coming up in about a month, and to rest.
I have mine at the end of the month.
I'm trying to get Memorial Day off, so at least get a 3-day weekend in, and then a little vacation in June, and go hang out in the river for a few days and drink beer and do absolutely fucking nothing, which is the whole idea of vacation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. float,
cook food, and drink some beer.
Yeah.
I don't really drink a lot of beer anymore, but I do when we go out to the river, though. I do down some beers quite a bit. I mean,
it's what you kind of have to.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think we went through a couple 24 packs last year, so I'm sure we'll do about the same. So
nice.
It'll be fun. It'll be real fun. So, yeah. But anyway, I guess let's get into today's show then officially. Download This, where we talk what we streamed, watched, played this week. You know, I noticed Matt had to brag about getting his little fancy Xbox and shit, but then I don't even hear about him playing nothing on it, you know? I mean,
I'm waiting for Resident Evil Village.
It's already out.
It's out?
No. I've seen reviews. Are already out.
The beta, the walkthrough, you can do the first part where you get captured and stuff and play a little bit of it, but you can't play the whole thing. I've done the beta, but I was like, that didn't count for me.
Did you play seven?
Seven?
Or is it, yeah, seven. Yeah, the last one.
Oh, Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
No, I'm
the hillbilly.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You mean four?
No, dude, the one that came before Village, when it's first person, and you're, you know, stuck in a hillbilly hell. Basically, it's all first person.
Okay.
It's this Village is the sequel to that, to Resident Evil 7.
No, I'm getting started with the extended universe of Resident Evil. I'm pretty, yeah. I'm a purist. 1, 2, and 3, there's a lot of people that say 1, 2, and 3 are the only ones that should exist. But I want more Resident Evil, and you know, the remakes are nice, but you know, I don't want to keep playing those. So, Village will be my next thing. It's fully downloaded.
Resident Evil 7 has a lot of story elements that Village builds upon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Village is Resident Evil 8.
Village is 8?
Yeah. Village is Resident Evil Part 8.
Man, it got
pretty... You're understanding me, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I get it.
You got to play Resident Evil 7, which is the foundation of Village, basically.
That's the one with the new character, right? They didn't
bring
Chris. Okay.
Yeah, and that same character is who you're playing in Village.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the.
You just got schooled on your own Resident Evil, man.
No, I'm not trying to school him. As far
as, like, continuity, like.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure Matt's getting the full continuity, so that way he doesn't miss out on stuff. Goes in there cold turkey, is like, what? Who? You know?
Because I haven't been paying. I stopped paying attention after Resident Evil 0. Which was the prequel to 1, kind of shows what happens kind of intermittently in Resident Evil 1. 4 is good. There's a couple others in there that are good, but...
Dude, 4, I played that game to death.
I liked it.
Resident Evil 4?
Yeah, because that came fresh out on PS3, right?
Was it? PS2. It came out on GameCube.
4?
And,
It came out on 2? Maybe it was
came out on GameCube first.
Yeah, that's right, because I think
then it went to PS2.
The remake came out of Resident Evil 1 came out around that time, huh?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be...
The first remake, at least.
Yeah, that'll be what I play first, the Village. But I've been just playing, like, Battlefront 2, especially this week. You know, it's May the 4th be with you, so... You know, I played some Battlefront, and, man, I had one round where I just got my ass whooped. I usually do decent. I have a couple really good games, but for the most part, I'm decent. I'm usually not bad, but I was bad. I got whooped, and someone messaged me, "Quit being fodder," and I responded, "I am your fodder."
Wow!
And they laughed.
Yeah. Shit.
What a bad joke.
took me a second to get that joke.
I gotcha. But I guess I'll start with my download this, since we're talking about that. That's what I played. I also watched all of Invincible. I will say I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I thought I was going to. It's brutal as hell. I like the fights. And, you know, it's basically if Superman came to Earth with the intent of colonization, that's basically what it would be, what it basically is. But it's great. I mean, you know, J. Jonah Jameson, dude, can't remember the actor's name, but he's really good in his voice acting role. So can't wait for the second season to come out. If you haven't watched it, give it a watch. The first couple episodes are really good. There's a couple slow episodes, but it was pretty good, pretty solid. Cinco de Mayo, you know, was this week, so I went ahead and watched Three Amigos because it's hilarious, and I just love the My Little Buttercup
theme. Blue shadows on the trail. I love that song.
Martin Short's like, I can't sleep. I've never slept outside. And he's like, don't worry, I got this. And Chevy Chase singing.
Yeah.
And then whenever he pretends to be one of the bad guys to blend in, who are you? Like, what did we do in this battle? He's like, we raped the horses and rode off on the women. And it's funny. You know, maybe one day we'll do it. It's probably out of our radar, but Martin Short.
I like that movie.
Yeah, that trio, man. Martin Short, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase. I mean, some of the SNL greats, you know. And I enjoy the movie still. It still holds up to me. I watched something else, but I guess I can't remember all of it. You know, this sleep schedule's got me got my memory all jacked up. But yeah, that's about what I did this week's first.
Yeah.
You know, what I downloaded, streamed, and played.
Yeah. Well, my download this is more of a physical personal project, and I bought a 75-gallon tank finally, and then I'm just slowly bringing the pieces together. You know, lessons I've learned from my 29-gallon. And then I'm basically just finding ways to be more effective with how I spend my money on this one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's slowly but surely got the tank. It's sitting in the garage, and I'm just trying to make space for it in my bedroom. there's a cardboard box in front of me.
It just hovered above your head with string.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what my view looks like. Oh, right. Yeah. But anyhow, the Godzilla poster stays, by the way. But yeah, I mean, just a personal project. But that's it for me. Download this.
Okay.
Well, y'all have been slacking. Neither one of y'all watched The Bad Batch yet?
No, I haven't. I didn't realize it was coming out this week.
It's actually pretty good. You know, it takes place almost right after it kind of starts before Revenge of the Sith is over, and as the episode goes along, it kind of, you know, the Clone Wars are ending, and this group is trying to figure out, I guess they're specialized clones that were not quite programmed the same way, so they don't enact on Order 66, so they're trying to figure out what the hell happened. You know, they want to know, like, why did all these clones turn on the Jedi and all that. So it's an interesting dynamic, different personalities with these clones compared to what we've seen. Echo, who was in the Clone Wars cartoon, is in it. You know, he's probably the most familiar face. For those that watch Rebels, it's a little bit of spoiler here, but not that big a spoiler because you might have seen already. They introduced a character at the beginning of the show who he goes by a different name, but it's pretty obvious it's Kanan from Rebels, as we get to see how he escaped Order 66. So some interesting side things there to tie it all together. It honestly, so far, as a couple episodes in, looks like it's going to be another winner from Dave Filoni. Just another good show. Well-written characters. The animation's fucking superb. I mean, this is some of the best stuff they've done. I mean, it just looks really good. I mean, you remember those last few episodes of The Clone Wars, how the animation was vastly improved. This is like that. It just vastly improved. You know, the 16 episodes for the first season, they said, so good stuff, man. You know, it's more Star Wars. Just keep it coming. I'm fine with that. I've had a Star Wars week. that Rogue server I play on for Galaxies released their Bestman expansion, which is
a
quite amazingly done job for a nonprofit team of amateur developers, basically. I mean, it looks like Bestman. It's really, really cool. And it was funny, Matt was talking about that person called him a fodder. I was in a fight the other night with a spy. Anybody who plays Galaxy, spy is probably the most cowardly profession there, you know, because they can cloak and hide and they step out and they kill you. And I was trying to run, you know, to survive. So they sent me a message calling me a coward. I'm like, really? You're calling me a coward because I'm ready to survive? But then a couple of nights later, that same spy showed up in the same PvP area and I exacted my revenge on her.
Nice.
So it felt very, I was very satisfied to get that kill. I was like, yeah, bitch, take that. And in the game, whenever someone kills you, you can put bounties on them. And I put $1 million bounty on her head. But nice. no one ever claimed it though. So I never, cause you get an email in the game letting you know if a bounty hunter claimed the bounty for you. But I guess no one ever claimed it. But I got my own revenge by killing her. So
gotcha, bitch.
That's right. but man, I'm, whatever, you know, the cost is. for a quick background, you know, Star Wars Galaxies was an online game that ran from 2003 till 2011, and it got shut down when Lucasfilm decided to go towards the Old Republic. And so there are rogue servers out there because the code is public domain. So the code is allowed to be used, but they'd have to be careful infringing on the IP. So hopefully they don't get in trouble for releasing this investment expansion because it's really, really nice. The quest line so far in the expansion is kind of, you know, but you can forgive it a little bit because these are, you know, amateur developers. What they did with the city itself is quite impressive. So, you know, and it's got Lando Calrissian, the carbon freeze chamber. You can go see where he betrayed Han, the dining hall and all that. So a lot of cool iconic locations. So it's pretty neat. So, and, you know, maybe I can get Matt back on Galaxies here eventually. You know, he's not slacking off playing Resident Evil. You know,
but, I'll definitely have to hop on at least to hang out on Bespin. You know,
that's you're going to have to do all the downloads. That's going to take you probably a day. Cause they actually released Bespin in 5 separate downloads over the last 3 weeks. That way their servers are overload, and each one does about half an hour on my computer. So imagine 5 of them, 2, 3 or 4 hours just to download the Bespin stuff. So, you know, but it's smart for them to do that. That way they don't overload their servers. So, cause I mean, imagine it's a rogue server. They probably are only running, you know, maybe a few server boxes, you know, they're probably not running large machines like Sony did back in the day. So it's pretty cool though. I'm just glad to be still playing that game because I had so much fun back in the day playing it. And I was kind of really glad when I found this. I had tried rogue servers before, but none of them I really liked that much. And then I discovered SWG Legends, which is the rogue server I play on, and it's got a good community. It's got everything in the game that was in the original game. That was part of the problem with a lot of the other emulators out there. They don't have everything. You know, they're missing parts of the game. They either don't have space, or they don't have the heroics or certain quest lines. SWG Legends has everything in the game that was in the original game, and that's what makes it so cool. It's one of the few rogue servers that have everything that you want to play, and a great community too. I mean, you know, it's only, like I said, about 1,200 people online at a time, but it's a solid community of 1,200 people, so it works out nicely. So, but if anybody, you do have to have your original disc, or you have to download them from, you know, a Reddit file or a torrent to be able to play it. Which isn't hard to do. You can find those out there easily. And if anybody's interested, play SWG Legends. So that's it, really. I didn't really watch anything else this week. I tried to get the kids to sit down and watch The Mitchells vs. the Machines on Netflix because I've heard it's really good and funny. It's from the directors of Spider-Verse and the Lego Movie. But the kids were not behaving, so we didn't get it watched yet. So I wanted to watch it. I heard it's really funny. So maybe get it watched by next week. And then, I did try watching. Man, I don't know. Everyone raves about that show, Ozark. I couldn't. I tried watching the first episode. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that show. I was just looking for something new to watch, and I just didn't get it. I don't know.
Ozark? It's Hillbilly Bad, Breaking Bad or something.
Oh, I don't know. But everyone says you get hooked by the first episode. I didn't get hooked. Hmm. I think maybe it's Jason Bateman, too. Sometimes I have a hard time with him acting. You know, maybe he just took me out of the show. So I don't know. Hmm. but it's very popular on Netflix, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to try this, and I don't know. Maybe I'll give it another try. We'll see. All right. Well, we are... let's get into today's featured film. 1982, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Steven Spielberg, man, he is one of the great directors of all time. We've already covered, I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Jaws and Saving Private Ryan, some of his great films. And it's just every time we cover another Steven Spielberg film, it's like, man, this guy has done some... I mean, he could be arguably the greatest director that's ever lived. Just the amount of massive hits he's had and Oscar films and stuff. And this is another one. That's E.T. the Extraterrestrial, which was the number one film at the box office. It beat Star Wars and was the number one domestic grossing film up until early 1990.
Jurassic Park?
Well, no, Jurassic Park didn't quite top it. It came close. But actually, Star Wars took its own record back with the special editions in early
1990. Oh, cheat.
In early, hack. Yeah. But then Star Wars only held the record for a few months because what movie came out Christmas that year? And
was it an E.T. re-release? No,
Titanic.
Oh, right.
And it was the first movie to make $600 million at the box office and broke the record until, of course, Avatar came out. And then I guess Avengers Inc. Well, then The Force Awakens overtook Avatar. And now I think Force Awakens is still number one domestically. Avengers is number one worldwide. But yeah, I think the number one film domestically is still The Force Awakens. So Star Wars ended up getting its reign back at a time. But in 1982, it was E.T., man, at the box office. This was a massive hit for Universal Pictures, and deservedly so, because this is a... It seems like you watch it now, and it feels very like a cookie-cutter film, but I think that's just because it's been emulated so much, you know?
Yeah.
But this is a great movie. You know, I think all three of us have watched this many times over the years, grew up watching it. It was always on television, things like that. Mm-hmm. Matt, you're a little bit younger, but I'm sure at some point in your youth, you watched E.T.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And and rewatching it, it's still... There's something about this film that just feels kind of magical and touching. And I think that's the sign of why it's such a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a, you know, just... a couple heartfelt moments, you know, those are sprinkled throughout the film, and you know, it helps that there are kids that are along with the alien, you know, throughout the entire story, and there's a just cause, and they're, you know, they're trying to stand between the government and you know, and E.T. and trying to get him back home, and then he gets drunk. That's hilarious.
I love that scene.
I've forgotten about that. It's like, oh yeah, he does drink beer.
It was so funny is Waverly, the boys weren't really watching it, but Waverly was watching it with me. She's over there going, oh no, no, alien, don't drink beer. It was the funniest thing. So she's making me laugh too. And then he falls over and she's like, he fell over, he drank beer. It was so funny watching it with her.
That's awesome.
Oh, go.
Yeah. I guess quick summary.
We didn't even summarize it. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
An alien is, you know, E.T. gets off his you know, family's spacecraft and looks like the government, you know, finds out that they're there, and spacecraft takes off, and E.T.'s left to fend for himself because he didn't make it on the plane in time. Stumbles into these kids' home, and, you know, he befriends them, and, you know, they dress him up in crazy crap. The girl dresses him up the craziest, puts a wig on him.
Right.
There's all kinds of cool antics that go on with that. And then, you know, they find out where E.T. is, and then it's a race to, after E.T. makes communication with his family, a race to get him, beat the police, and get to where his family can extract him, basically. Without going too deep into different things going on in the film. But yeah, there's the link between the boy and E.T. is
Elliot.
Is the coolest. Elliot. Yeah, Elliot. That's probably the coolest part for me. And I always wondered why he didn't, you know, start feeling the effects of E.T. passing whenever, you know, E.T. was passing. Because it's like, you know, E.T. got drunk, and the boy got drunk, and they don't sever the connection, right?
No.
Yeah, I was like, is there something I missed? I was like,
but Elliot kind of gets sick too. You know.
Yeah, and he tells him. He can tell that he's dying. You know, so yeah. Maybe that's how they kind of keep that link in there.
Yeah. Long, your initial thoughts on E.T. Long, even Long, as tough as hearted you are, this movie has to warm your heart because it's such a strong story about friendship.
Yes.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I first saw it when I was 10 years old. I always heard about E.T. And when I watched it on home video, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a pretty cool movie. And then middle school happened. And then in my seventh grade year, when there was study hall, they would put on E.T. And I watched E.T. for 1 week straight. And I got so sick and tired of that movie. And I'm like, I'm not going to watch this movie again, you know, because you just know all the story beats and everything. You get tired of it after the fifth straight day of watching it. You know?
That's fair.
Yeah, so that's just my beef with it. I mean, great movie, but not so great on multiple viewings,
right?
Especially in the week. But
I can agree with that. I think this is one of those great films that, like, it's really good every time you watch it, but you don't need to watch it like every year. Like Star Wars, I could watch all the time, and it's a great film. Jaws, I could watch all the time, but like this is one of those that like
family movie.
Yeah, every now and then you watch it, you remind you how great of a movie it is, and you're satisfied for a while with it.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point. I rewatching it this week. I also, you know, they did a special edition of this film because basically, as George convinced Steven to do it, you know, George Lucas had done his Star Wars special editions and Spielberg was like, yeah, I don't really want to do it. But then George is like, well, why don't you just do it subtly? And this special edition is a little different than the Star Wars special editions. Basically, they went in and used very little CGI to kind of make the puppet look a little better in parts. But Steven was really adamant about not taking away from the work of the puppeteers because he thought they did a fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He thought they did a fantastic job. So he simply went in and cleaned up some of the shadows, made the face look a little more moisture on E.T.'s face.
More gleam.
Yeah, more gleam. Made his movements a little bit more casual, but he didn't completely CGI E.T. He wanted to keep the puppet in there. Of course, there was all the controversy when the movie came out about the guns being taken out and putting walkie-talkies in. For the recent 30th anniversary Blu-ray release, though, he did put the guns back in. He got rid of the walkie-talkies because even he realized that was no point to change it. Even though it's kind of silly that we saw because of the preview last week to be pointing guns at kids, but at the same time, it's like, you know, were they really pointing guns at kids or pointing guns at this alien? They didn't know what it was. So he did put that back in. But I like that fact that they didn't change the puppetry too much because it is a pretty remarkable job. And then also thinking about this movie, this is another John Williams film because, you know, he worked with Steven Spielberg quite a bit doing the music. And this is kind of an underrated score. You don't hear it, but you always hear about Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Jaws, but this is actually a really good score too. You know, Williams does a great job in it, and it's memorable. You know, when you hear it, you remember, oh, that's from E.T., you know. And especially
when they take off in the air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is one that's just another classic from one of the greatest, if not the greatest movie composer to ever live, you know, and another good one from him. Harrison Ford actually almost appeared in this film as Elliot's school principal, like schoolmaster, but it was filmed, but it ended up being cut. I didn't even think to look to see if that even appeared. I don't even think it appears in any deleted scenes or anything anywhere, you know. I've never seen it. I just read about Harrison Ford that was going to appear in the film. Because this movie was basically written while Spielberg was filming Raiders of the Lost Ark. In between breaks, they would write the work of the script and things like that. So I imagine being on set with Harrison, they probably talked about it at some point. I also watched in this film, how huge is the house that they live in? Y'all notice that? It's like, where's the dad first?
Not bad for a divorced mom.
Yeah, for a divorced mom. The huge closets, huge bedrooms. You go in this backyard and it's like got this huge bedroom. Yeah. I was like, man, it's like, what did they ever say what she did for a living?
No.
She
no.
says I got to go to work. Yeah.
The divorce.
I'm like, she
drove an Audi.
Yeah. I'm like, she made out this divorce, this huge house. Mm-hmm. I mean, the closets were almost as big as the bedrooms. And then going back to the George Lucas connection too, I like all. There's a lot of Star Wars references. Obviously, Elliot plays with Star Wars toys and shows them to E.T. He runs into a child dressed as Yoda and kind of looks at him. You know, E.T. does.
Yeah.
And of course, E.T.'s appeared in Phantom Menace in the Senate scene. So I guess E.T.'s exists in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I heard that, I definitely had the DVD to look for the cameo.
Yeah.
Over in the Galactic Senate.
Yeah, it appears there. Then I think there's one other E.T. cameo in one of the movies, but it's a lot more subtle. I'd have to look that up. But you can see him, obviously, in the Galactic Senate. Very much so. I was also thinking sometimes this feels like a companionship movie almost to Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Because, you know, in that movie, we see the aliens very briefly at the end of the film. And this movie, I actually forgot until rewatching how many ETs they show at the beginning of the movie. You know, you see several of them. I always forgot about that. And then you see them at the end of the movie, too. Was the scene of the spaceship, was that in the original, or was that a special edition thing?
No, it was always been
it
there.
It was? Okay, I guess I didn't remember that from a kid, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That being in there.
You know, this movie came out in a very competitive year.
and it played in theaters for almost a year, too, which is unheard of. Nowadays, movies barely make it 6 weeks in theaters. You know?
Yeah.
Well, pre-COVID, you know, now it's a completely different thing, but yeah, what else was big in 82?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Well, I mean, never watched that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Fast Times is more of a cult classic hit. I don't think it was a huge hit at the theaters.
Dark Crystal?
No, it's not a cult classic.
Well, I mean, like it found its footing later on.
1982, right? I know Superman 3 came out that year.
Yeah.
Let me check.
Beastmaster, 48 Hours.
Blade Runner.
I know Beastmaster. I know Beastmaster was not a hit at theaters. That was definitely something that found
footage. Tron.
Yeah.
Tron.
Poltergeist.
First Blood. Rambo.
Star Trek II. Wrath of Khan. Creepshow.
Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Conan the Barbarian, right?
Yeah, but even Conan actually wasn't a huge hit. Conan only got a sequel because it made enough money to make its budget back, and then Terminator was a hit, so which allowed him to make a Conan sequel.
First Blood, 48 Hours.
48 Hours was a big hit.
Yeah. Rocky III.
Yeah.
Pretty packed year.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th Part 3.
Oh, Part 3.
Yeah, that was the one that gave Jason his hockey mask, right?
I wonder what made this movie, at the time, what made it such a huge hit, or being a really good film. I guess maybe political.
Probably timing.
The political climate of the world, who knows, might have been going on back then, and people just wanted to flock and see a family film that they could take the kids to and not worry about anything and just escape for a little bit. And this was Spielberg's first film after Raiders of the Lost Ark, which was a massive hit. So he was already coming off a hit. And, you know, but there's really no huge name actors in this film at the time. None of these actors were big names. But it just appealed to mass audiences for being a feel-good film. And, you know, I guess it just worked, like you said, timing. And I know Spielberg had been asked for years about doing a sequel, and he always said no, he never would. And I'm glad he didn't. I think that this movie works because of its friendship story and the fact that, you know, Elliot realized that E.T. had to return home or he wasn't going to be able to survive on Earth. And there was no reason ever. What else would you have done with this movie? You could not, you know, it tells a perfect story from the beginning to end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like you said, there's not much you could really change.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's some background on the connection, but you know, it's So, you know, it's the alien's foreign, you know, ET's foreign. So how would you know, you know, you have to introduce this whole like laboratory science, you know, section.
And you can't top the
stuff.
You can't top the ending of the film ever in a sequel. I mean, where he talks to Elliot, he tells him ET, you know, Elliot, be good. And they connect one last time and he's crying. I mean, the emotional impact of that could not be topped. The sequel would just completely take that away and ruin it. So I'm glad it never did anymore. You know, it's perfect how it ends.
He came back during his teenage years and they're like picking up chicks and like a stingray, you know, or something.
Anywho, E.T. a little side note is E.T. is also known for being the, there was an Atari game made on this game. Based on this movie, that is the worst,
nearly killed the worst video game industry
ever made. Like you literally, nothing worked in the game. It got released. There's a documentary. It's probably on Netflix where all these ET cartridges were dumped in this landfill, which was a legendary conspiracy theory for years about these ET cartridges being dumped in this landfill. And they filmed a documentary digging in that landfill, and they actually did find quite a few of them. A lot of people thought the guy was crazy to go looking for these ET game cartridges, but he believed they were in there, and sure enough, they were. So ET was not successful on the merchandising market, it would seem. It almost single-handedly killed Atari. But on the flip side of this movie single-handedly saved Reese's Pieces because they were going to be discontinued by Mars Candy. But thanks to ET, here almost 40 years later, we are still able to buy Reese's Pieces because this movie single-handedly saved that candy. Could you imagine a world without Reese's Pieces? We wouldn't even know, I guess, because we were like, well, you weren't even born yet. Me and Long were like 5 years old.
Yeah. There was one time I thought I was going to eat an M&M and I grabbed a Reese's Pieces and I was very disappointed.
You don't like Reese's Pieces?
Nah, man, I want the cups.
What's wrong with you?
I want the cups, man. The cups are way
better. Cups are good too, but what's wrong with Reese's Pieces are great.
I guess because I started off
too with sugary. M&Ms. I don't know.
I started off with M&M's, so I think my taste buds have an expectation of what it's supposed to taste like if I have a, you know, circular, yellow.
That's a dumb reason. Object. You know, one is peanut buttery and one is chocolate.
Maybe if you combined them, you know.
Oh man.
Like a Reese's cup.
Reese's Pieces are good candy.
They aren't bad. I just, you know, they aren't my first choice.
Go eat your lame Sour Patch Kids.
I do like Sour Patch Kids. I can't.
But
can't deny that.
So what do you rank this movie?
It's an A. Especially given the time.
An A.
If you're trying to compare it to movies today, I can see why someone would be like, oh, it's a B plus, it's a B minus, but it's an A. It's a great story. It's a feel good story, good score. You know, I don't have any problems with the movie. Can't think of anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
I think it's an A.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree with y'all. I think it's an A. I think it's among Spielberg's best. We're doing in a couple of weeks, we're doing a Temple of Doom. So we're gonna do another Spielberg film and we're probably going to talk our favorite Spielberg movies in that episode. So I'll have to think on that, whether I'll have E.T. in the top five.
I didn't get a chance to do this list, but I will do a running commentary on your picks.
Slacker.
So, not a slacker.
I thought you worked today or something.
No, I know. Gosh.
So that brings us to our top five, which Long slacked off on. And it is a...
I'm sorry. This is the first time it's ever happened.
Our top five friendly aliens in movies. I guess it could have been television too, but I just said movies. So, Matt, I guess you can go first since Long didn't make a list.
Yeah. So I put these guys on there knowing that they weren't friendly at first, but then they were, and that's the Ewoks. Because I feel ultimately they were overall friendly. And they're, you know, they look like teddy bears.
I should have made a parameter on this rule list though, because sci-fi movies, everyone's aliens in that. You know, I was thinking more like aliens that appear kind of thing. You know,
oh, like appear and come to Earth.
Yeah, Yeah.
I got one.
Or Earth travelers to travel to sci-fi.
The traveler has
like, come. It's too easy, because I could have said I did 5 Star Wars aliens. You know.
Well, that's my only one on there. Like,
I'll let you have one.
I got one. I got one. The bounty hunter, the alien bounty hunters in the Critter movies, the first two.
Stripe?
I don't remember their names, but I do know that they were helping the humans out to kill the critters.
I don't even remember those movies. So.
Yeah. Well, that means you should rewatch them someday. They actually do hold up pretty well.
Hey, are you wearing a Notorious B.I.G. shirt, Matt?
Hmm? No. A Notorious.
He doesn't know anything about black culture.
That's what I was asking. It says Notorious. So yeah.
I'm wearing a Notorious ACB shirt.
Whatever that is. At number 5, I have from the day the Earth stood still, I have Klaatu, who basically comes to Earth to warn us to straighten up or we're going to all die because we're going to kill each other, essentially.
I need to see that movie.
You ever seen the... I mean, don't watch the Keanu Reeves. I'm talking the original 1951 black and white classic.
No, neither. Yeah, I need to watch it because I know it's a... You know, what kind of sci-fi fan am I, really?
It's a really, watch it. Really good movie. It's a slow movie, but it's really well done.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, I've got Gizmo from Gremlins. Because he's like a Furby. He's like a little Furby, man. He's cute.
Wait a minute, is he an alien or is he just some...
I thought he was like a mythical creature, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was an alien, like they came from space.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever confirmed it. I thought it was just like
that a mythical doesn't count. Creature. He didn't go with Max and Me, that weird alien.
Let's see. I'll have to Max look that Andy. One up and vet yeah. it.
Long, are you pulling another one out of your ass or should I move the...
That's another one out of my ass, yes.
At number 4, I have Drac from Enemy Mine, which, you know, movie we covered a couple years ago. And this is a case where we travel to this planet, we meet these aliens, so, you know, that's so it still works. And Drac starts off with not so nice, but it was a story about two men that didn't understand each other, and they were just doing what they were told from their perspective governments. And, of course, him and Dennis Quaid become the best of friends throughout their journey to survive on the planet. And so Drac is my number 4 friendly alien. Matt.
Number 3.
You're right. It doesn't confirm if he's actually from space.
I thought Gremlins was just mythical creatures type deal.
Yeah. Number 3, I have this alien. I feel like these top 3, you could interchange them in any one, but I've got E.T. as number 3. You know, he's awesome. He's drinking beer. He's eating candy. You know, he was the one that probably made it so that, I keep forgetting the boy's name, so that he could get that kiss from the girl. That was an awesome scene. So all made possible by E.T.
Long, are you pulling another one out of your ass here?
I only got one for the number 1 spot. I'm saving it.
At number 3, then, I have from The Last Starfighter, Half Centauri, who helps the young, I can't think of that character's name, as he is the master video game player, and he takes him up to Earth to help save whatever he saves. It's been a while since I watched The Last Starfighter. But I might throw a hint here that The Last Starfighter could very well be my birthday movie this year. I've been thinking about it. So
there we go.
So
thanks for the warning.
So Centauri number 3. It's a good movie, man. Don't hate.
Number 2, I've got the Iron Giant.
He's an alien. Good choice.
Yeah, man. He's awesome, man. And he's protective, too.
I have that at number 2 also, actually.
So. Oh, look at this.
So, I love that movie. I mean, you know, we covered it, and it's such a great movie. Yeah.
Good.
And then Brad Bird, you know, he teased not that long ago about a possible sequel. And I'm like, don't tease us like that. You know, so it'd be fun to see where else that story could go. I don't think it will ever happen. You know, and Brad Bird even talked about if he does it, it's going to be CGI because, you know, 2D traditional animation is just unfortunately going out the door. But he said he would push the studio to do 2D if he ever did it, but he has a feeling most studios would want 3D. But yeah, I love The Iron Giant. Such a good movie.
Number one, Superman.
Fuck, man, you stole my number one, too.
For real?
And to be clear, but I have a specific, and my Superman is 1978 Christopher Reeve Superman. Because Superman in the comics is a little different, because that universe exists. There's all kinds of aliens in that. And you know, so I think the actual story of an alien coming into Earth and living among us and saving us is my Superman. And that's Christopher Reeve in 1978's Superman the movie.
Yep. He turned back time.
That's right. And no one is... I like Henry Cavill, but I still think no one has played him better than Christopher Reeve.
100% agree.
Well, my number one is Optimus Prime
from the planet Cybertron. Man, how did I forget Transformers, dude?
Yep. Alien, friendly, all human, all living things have a right to live, whatever.
Doesn't he do voiceovers now for like Colgate commercials? Like those
Peter Cullen?
Optimus.
What?
Peter Cullen's the voice actor for Optimus. Dude.
Great, great voice actor.
Yeah.
You know.
That does he know he's talking about?
Yeah.
No, just I feel like I've heard his voice as a voiceover in a commercial before.
He probably has. I mean,
he's got one of those voices.
Matthew McConaughey does a bunch of commercials. I mean, you know, Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah.
Like the Lincoln commercial that Matthew McConaughey did. I took a left and I took a right, all right, all right. And his Lincoln.
Well, that's this week's top five. Oh, jeez. A little bit of news, not a whole lot. Damn, I can't read my fucking handwriting. I don't know why we didn't talk about this last week, but Mads Mikkelsen's going to be in Indiana Jones 5. That's good casting, man. You know, I kind of hope he doesn't play the bad guy, though. You know?
He's such a good bad guy.
I know, but that's the thing. I want to see him play. I'd rather be Indy's buddy, man. I don't want to see Harrison and Mads go at it. You know? I want to see him in a different role. I'd like to see him do something different. But he's been talking about it. He's really excited about it. He says the script is really good, and he seems really thrilled to be, you know, and he did the same thing when he got cast in Rogue One. He was really thrilled to be in a genre film, something he grew up watching, and he seems to be really thrilled that he's going to be in Indiana Jones. And Mads, man, the more you read stuff with him, he seems like that really cool motherfucker that you could just kind of hang out and have a beer with and talk shop. You know, he's really... He comes across to be really down to earth and really excited to be in these different movies he's gotten to be in, you know, the stuff that he grew up watching, James Bond and everything. So I think that's pretty cool, you know. And so it should be fun. They moved up Loki a couple of days. Loki is going to come out on Wednesdays instead of Fridays like the Marvel shows have been doing. So we will get Loki on June 9th here in a few weeks, the first episode of that show.
Nice.
You know, so far so good with the Marvel shows. You know, I wasn't sure how these TV shows were going to work out, but you know, we've worked through the first two, and you know, Falcon Winter Soldier was great. So hopefully Loki can continue that, and I have every faith that it will with Tom Hiddleston. Man, he was born. It
definitely made me appreciate Falcon more. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Hiddleston was born to play that character, so yeah, he's really good as Loki. So it should be fun. And lastly, I think I complained a couple weeks ago about where is Stranger Things, and all of a sudden we got another teaser for season 4, where it looks like we might get some more background on Eleven, as it looks like she's imprisoned in the teaser. So I guess maybe it's coming. Maybe we'll get season 4 of Stranger Things by the end of the year. About damn time. See, I mean, was season 3 2019? Has it been that long? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it had to be, because there wasn't nothing last year.
Nope.
You know.
And The Witcher was supposed to come out this fall, this year, season 2.
Well,
I really enjoyed it.
Well, Henry Cavill just announced not that long ago that season 2 wrapped production, so I'm sure it's probably on its way. And Stranger Things is definitely, E.T. is definitely one of those movies that influenced Stranger Things for sure from the 80s. That's the Duffer brothers are heavily influenced in that show by stuff they watched in the 80s. So, but that's all I got on the news.
Eternals trailer?
Huh? The what trailer?
Eternals teaser.
Oh, the Marvel video they released? Yeah, with some Eternals footage. I mean, it wasn't much footage, but yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't much. You get like a little flash and that's it.
Yeah, and then I do have a little bit of news because I was talking to my son about today, and Matt probably knows this. You know, there's a Goku Day for Dragon Ball. It's the 9th, I believe, is Goku Day. And it's highly expected that they're going to announce another Dragon Ball Super movie on Goku Day.
Yes.
Everyone's been wondering, fans of the show have been wondering what was going to happen after the Dragon Ball Super Broly movie because I don't know the creator's name, but he's been very quiet, hasn't said a lot. You know, he's apparently working on some new comics and stuff, but he hasn't said if there was going to be more animation. And apparently it's going to be announced here in a couple of days that more animation is coming. So we'll see. For all you Dragon Ball fans out there. So cool. Well, let's preview next week's movie before we get out of here. From the Wachowski brothers before they became sisters, which, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. but a hyperkinetic kind of surreal type film they made with this movie. And that is Speed Racer.
Your son seems to be interested in only one thing.
All drivers to your cars, please.
All he talks about.
The final countdown has begun.
All he seems capable of thinking about is automobile racing.
Pulling into victory lane, the winner, Speed Racer.
He's going to be very good.
No. He's going to be the best.
For my family, racing's everything.
I watch you do some of the things you do. You just take my breath away. I am so proud to be your mom.
Cool beans. Speed Racer, what are you thinking?
That race was fixed. Someone's trying to crush everything in my life that matters to me. How can we fight this?
The only way you'll ever stop these people is to bring them to justice.
Racing's the only thing I know how to do, and I gotta do something. This isn't a game. These people play rough.
That's why I'm going with you.
These are some of the most dangerous drives in the world.
Their cars will probably be equipped with secret weapons. So we've modified the Mach 5 to try to counter their attacks.
Go, Speed, go!
Speed, get out of there!
I can't move!
Speed!
Whoa! That's my boy!
Speed Racer is back!
Hubba, hubba.
Ooh.
Speed Racer, slow down. I saw this movie in theaters, and my initial thoughts on it was like, yeah, this is really long. Like, it was just a long film. But then when I sat down and watched it again, I was able to really focus on it more and kind of get what they were trying to do with the movie. They were basically trying to bring a cartoon to life, and you pick up on that the second time you watch it. The first time, there's so much going on in this movie, it's hard to, you know, pick up on everything. The second time you watch it, you can slow your mind down a little bit, and they do quite an amazing job of bringing a cartoon to life in this film, I think. And so it should be a fun one to watch again and talk about. Emil Hirsch is very good in it at Speed. You know, he really believes in what he's doing. In the movie, it's got the great John Goodman in it playing his dad. So it should be some fun stuff to watch this as we continue with some
ha-ha after everything. Ha ha! Need to go here. Ha ha!
Have you never seen the live action Speed Racer?
I've never seen it.
Never seen it?
No, I remember wanting to go see it, And I remember the trailer where John Goodman beats up a ninja and he called him a nanja. And I was like, I need to see that. And it just never happened.
Yeah, it's a fun one, man. I think you'll enjoy it.
It's got fast cars in it, you know, so I'll definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, lots of CGI, but good CGI. You know, it's a well shot film. It's that's one thing about the Wachowskis. They even the Matrix films and the stuff they've done, their cinematography is quite good, you know, in the movies they make. Their films always look nice and are well shot and well colored, you know. I mean, I know the Matrix films were purposely greens or browns and color saturation, and the Speed Racer is very bright and colorful, like anime come to life on the big screen. So it's pretty cool. It's amazing. You've never seen it. I don't think it's streaming anywhere, so you might have to rent it. But you know.
Yeah,
it was on Netflix for a while, but it might still be there. I didn't see it, but I own it on Blu-ray, so you know.
This is actually one of the first Blu-rays I've owned.
Yeah, so I wasn't too worried about it.
When it was a new thing.
Yeah. So that's next week's show as we talk. Go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer. I've been singing along.
That's Devo. Devo did the song for Speed Racer, right?
I have no idea.
The original artist for Speed Racer was Devo.
Hey, Speed Racer was, for a lot of us 40-something, Speed Racer was our first intro to anime for a lot of us.
Yep.
Racer
X,
and that stands true today. So that's next week's show as we talk Speed Racer. As always, go to the rebelradiopodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs, and we thank you as always for listening, and just continue to be safe out there, and until next week, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the alien invader.
And remember, until next time, just go there and do it.
Do it.